Thanks for joining us. I'm Diane Rehm. Created in 1996, the television network Al Jazeera quickly took off. Today, the Arabic channel airs in more than 100 million homes worldwide. An English version of Al Jazeera has met with less success. Leading the effort to sign up American viewers is 40-year-old Wada Kanfar. He's director general of the Qatar-based Al Jazeera. Kanfar was named by Arabian Business magazine as the eighth most influential Arab in the world and as a young global leader by the World Economic Forum. Wada Kanfar joins me in the studio, and we will take your calls, your questions and comments on Al Jazeera. Call us on 800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. Good morning to you. It's good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
I know that this is your first visit to Washington. Tell me what you are here to accomplish.
I think we are at Al Jazeera, would like to reach out to a lot of people in the States. Al Jazeera has been given certain kind of perception during the previous administration. And we thought it would be important to speak and to reach out to the public, to media organizations, to politicians, and to engage in dialogue about Al Jazeera and about Al Jazeera's role, and to answer also issues and the questions related to Al Jazeera. So it is a tour that whereby we are actually introducing Al Jazeera and interacting with other counterparts in Washington and New York.
Tell me what kind of perception you believe was created by the previous administration regarding Al Jazeera.
From 1996 to 2001, Al Jazeera was regarded by the American administration and many Western governments as the foremost force for democracy and freedom of expression in the Arab world. And after 2001, we were covering the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan, of course, before that. And then Mr. Rumsfeld, in many of his press conferences and many of the previous administration officials, started criticizing Al Jazeera, accusing Al Jazeera of broadcasting images that incite the Arab audience and create difficulty for the Americans to deal with the Arab world.
Such as,
for example, Mr. Rumsfeld accused us of showing the pictures of beheading, which has never happened on Al Jazeera. We have never shown a frame of beheading on Al Jazeera screen. Of course, we were doing our duty as journalists. So when there is a war, there is a very ugly face for the war. We cannot hide it. And this is exactly what happened. We did cover the war in Afghanistan and in Iraq.
And showed images.
We did, of course. We did show the images of destruction, the images of civilians who were killed. Although we have very strict policy on graphic scenes, however, there are images of war, and the images of war always are ugly, and therefore it was not our duty to cover up for the war images. It was our duty to question centers of authorities. It is to display the reality as it is, and also the American opinion was always present on Al Jazeera screen, be it from Washington or from CENTCOM in Qatar or from any other part of the world.
During that period of time when you felt Al Jazeera was being criticized by the American administration, do you believe that Al Jazeera became more critical of the American administration?
No, I don't think so. We did not try to settle our differences with the Americans through the screen. And we have never done that with the Arab governments, who also criticized us previously because of certain issues related to democracy and the freedom of expression. So we normally distance the screen from conflicts and from opinion related to confrontation with certain government or administration.
Of course, there are certain phrases that Al Jazeera uses. For example, the occupied West Bank, the occupied areas of Palestine that have never been used elsewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, this issue of the phraseology, we are very clear about it. We adopt certain standards related to international law. The Palestinian territories in 1967 area in West Bank is called internationally and recognized by the United Nations as occupied territories. So we use this terminology as a matter of fact because legally that is the situation referring to these territories.
And the broadcasting of the Osama bin Laden tapes was also criticized.
Maybe your audience did not know that Al Jazeera was never the first TV station to broadcast interviews with Osama bin Laden. American networks did. Western newspapers did. But Al Jazeera, like any other network in the world, dealt with this issue as it's supposed to be dealt with. Osama bin Laden was, you know, sending tapes, and these tapes, we will look at it. A tape, maybe 1 hour time, we will take 3 minutes or 4 minutes of newsworthy items from it. We will eliminate the propaganda out of the tape. We will put these 2-3 minutes, and surrounding that, in a context of analysis, we will have analysts and people who will comment on it. And normally, these kind of comments and analysis will include also American voice. And people will sit down and discuss these issues. I think we did serve the cause of rationality in the Arab world. We didn't introduce the reality as it is. We did not appoint ourselves as judges of who should be heard and who should not be heard. We were professional journalists, and we refused to rally politically behind any government or pro any government.
Wada Kanfar. He's Director General of Al Jazeera Television Network. Do join us, 800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. I know that a few weeks ago, Al Jazeera signed deals with U.S. cable distributors. So now, for example, here in the Washington area on Channel 275, the residents of the district can view Al Jazeera. How successful have you been around the country?
We are actually trying right now to deal with other cable companies in order to, you know, enhance our distribution in the United States of America. However, still, as you said, we are available in Washington area, and we are available, of course, on our website for people who would like to download the live streaming of Al Jazeera. They can watch that. We are available on some satellite platforms as well. However, we think that, you know, priority number one for us this year is to reach out to other audience in other states in the United States of America. And I think there is very positive response. There is a change of environment, and there is a feeling that people would like to reach out to the Arab world and to the Islamic world. And we have received the message of Mr. Obama when he delivered his speech in Cairo, and I think that is a very positive sign. So therefore, definitely, you know, we feel, during my visit here, I met with a lot of people who are concerned. You know, we have communicated with them regarding the issue of distribution, and I think we are getting very soon to most of the American states.
You must have been somewhat disappointed when Hisham Melham of Al Arabiya got the interview with President Obama.
You know, I must tell you something, you know, in general, Al Jazeera is the voice of the public in the Arab world and the voice of the people all over the world, because now we have Al Jazeera English as well. So we are the voice for the voiceless. We would have, of course, preferred that Mr. Obama would speak to us, but I cannot say that we have felt that, you know, there is a huge loss that we have experienced, not because we don't want to host Mr. Obama to speak on our screen. That will be, you know, very important for us. And we have written actually and requested this kind of meeting. Why did he choose Al Arabiya? That I will leave it for him to speak. Why did he or his advisors? But for us, you know, Al Jazeera has continued to do its work and to cover the stories and to cover his, you know, speeches as well and reaction from the Arab world during the last few months.
President Obama has complained that Al Jazeera so often shows footage of him at the Western Wall in Jerusalem wearing the yarmulke.
Yeah. I mean, I have heard that.
You've heard that over
have,
and over
I have
again.
Read that here. But I was. It is actually something very interesting because it is not true. What has happened is the following. We have promos for leaders from all over the world, from the Arab world and the United States of America, Europe, everywhere, where these leaders appear on the screen and we say that Al Jazeera shows various angles about these leaders. So you show the person with four different angles. One of the angles that Mr. Obama was, you know, seen in that kind of promo, which is about 30-second promo, is when he is putting the yarmulke. On another picture, he is shown, you know, entering a mosque. Or another picture, he is shown speaking to the public. So there are different angles, but Al Jazeera has dealt with Mr. Obama in a very professional way. And so far, we have covered all his activities, speeches, and interaction, especially with the Arab world. And I think no way that Al Jazeera was trying to play this kind of issue.
Wada Kanfar, he's Director General of Al Jazeera Television Network. We're going to take a short break here, but when we come back, I'll talk with Wada Kanfar about Dave Marish and what an event was created when he left Al Jazeera. Of course, we'll take your calls, 800-433-8850. If you've just joined us, the Director General of Al Jazeera Television Network is with me. Wada Kanfar is quite a force in the Middle East and has been called by many a young global leader, and he was named by Arabian Business Magazine as the eighth most influential Arab in the world. Why do you think you got that title?
I think Al Jazeera is the most influential, I think. I mean, definitely. Myself, I have, you know, I think that I have done something within Al Jazeera. If it was not Al Jazeera and Al Jazeera, you know, credibility, integrity of reporting, the love of the public towards Al Jazeera, you know, it would have been difficult for me to achieve what I have
achieved.
How did
you begin with Al Jazeera?
I started as an analyst on African affairs when I was based in South Africa. I was based in South Africa for 8 years. During that period, Al Jazeera was launched in 1996. By 1997, I was communicating, or they were communicating with me regarding issues related to the Arab, to the African politics. And later on, I worked as the correspondent for Al Jazeera in Southern Africa. And I traveled all over the region covering wars and conflicts and politics in the continent as it developed. Then I moved, of course, to Afghanistan to cover the war in Afghanistan and then the war in Iraq. And I became the bureau chief of Baghdad during the war on Iraq until 2000. By the end of 2003, I became the managing director of Al Jazeera Arabic, then the director general in 2006.
And that brings us to our question from Sheldon in 84, Pennsylvania. He says, please ask your guest, to what extent are different audiences given different messages? For instance, would watching the American broadcast help give one a reasonable idea of what Al Jazeera is broadcasting to its traditional audience in the Middle East?
You know, Al Jazeera is broadcasting to the entire world, so it is not a secret. And our screen is watched here, I mean, seen in from 1997, by the way, Al Jazeera Arabic is available in the States. And therefore, Al Jazeera was covering stories as it evolves. We have a region that is going through a very difficult time. We have 8 conflict zones. We have 8 hotspots happening in the surrounding of Al Jazeera area. And the audience, our audience, are involved, unfortunately, and they are victims of these kind of conflicts. So there is amount of tension taking place in the region that will be definitely, you know, projected on a screen, because that is the reality. It is not something that journalists have created. Unfortunately, this is the reality from Somalia to Sudan to Palestine to Iraq to Afghanistan to Pakistan to Iran. You know, we are living in a region where it is going through huge and sometimes violent transformation. Our duty as journalists, first, to provide our audience with knowledge, balanced one, not to become part of this particular scene, so we are not politicized, we are not pro particular ideology. We feel that we are witnessing, and we, in a sincere and balanced way, trying to project to our audience what we have witnessed on the ground. So this is what we do for our audience in the Arab world, and this is what we do for our audience as well internationally through Al Jazeera English.
You mentioned that you were Baghdad bureau chief. Did the U.S. bomb the bureau at that time?
We have no doubt that U.S. bombed 2 bureaus of Al Jazeera. The first one was in Kabul, and the second one was in Baghdad.
And what year would that have been?
In Kabul, 2001. By the end of 2001, during the war on Taliban, our bureau was bombed. And in Baghdad, on April 2004, our bureau was bombed, and one of our correspondents was killed and a few were injured. We had more than 20 people arrested by the American forces in Iraq. Some of them were tortured in Abu Ghraib prison. Until today, we have not received any apology, neither an investigation or explanation about what happened in these 2 accidents. Beside that, of course, we had also one of our employees, who is Sami Al-Hajj, the cameraman, who spent 6.5 years in Guantanamo Bay. He was released just 6 months ago, and Sami did not receive any explanation, neither Al Jazeera, on why was he sent to Guantanamo for so long.
The U.S. State Department denied that the attack was intentional.
We have all reasons to believe that a decision was taken to attack both of our bureaus.
By whom?
You know, we have seen how events happened. In myself, I was in Afghanistan, I was in Pakistan when this bombing happened. But when I arrived, I drove directly to the office. Our office in Kabul was actually surrounded by international agencies. The only house that was bombed in a huge suburb was Al Jazeera, and through 3 missiles. And we have passed to the Americans, both in Afghanistan and in Iraq, the GPS location and the, you know, for 2 of our bureaus, and inform them about exactly what we do. But unfortunately, in Kabul and in Baghdad again, the same scenario happened, and both of our bureaus were bombed, and I feel that we were targeted and we were bombed.
While you were here in Washington, while you have been here, have you spoken with individuals in the White House, at the State Department?
We did. I think we did speak to some individuals at the White House and the State Department, and
Can you tell us who?
We have met with people in charge of communication at the White House. We met also with the Undersecretary for Foreign Diplomacy in the State Department. And we raised all these issues, and we demanded some explanation, because I think what has happened against Al Jazeera should be explained, should be investigated. We would like to understand what has happened for us, because we have journalists who have felt very bitter. We have audience who were shocked to see all these kind of issues. So to deal with this matter will facilitate for us to continue, and to put this matter behind us, but at least to understand what exactly happened, who took the decision, and why innocent people and organization like Al Jazeera was bombed.
What do you think that Al Jazeera has to offer that perhaps American broadcasting organizations are not presenting at this time?
Diane, I am very sorry to say that I felt, while I was covering two wars, major wars, that the Americans were part of it, I felt that media in the West failed the public when it comes to the issue of wars in the region. I feel that a lot of journalists were overtaken by patriotism. Yes, I know that you have great institutions, great journalists who question centers of power in this country and in the West in general. But when it came to foreign policy, on the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, I think a lot of people rallied behind their governments, and they did not question, neither they raised the right issues regarding this war. I think a lot of issues regarding this war was not presented to the public and to the audience. Maybe by the end, during the last 2 years, we have witnessed new dynamics within the media in America, whereby issues related to Abu Ghraib prison and issues related to certain kind of civilian killing was, displayed. But before that, I'm afraid, especially during the war itself, a lot of facts were not shown. A lot of images were not displayed. And a lot of questions were not asked. It was a very really easy ride for a lot of politicians to market that war, given the circumstances, given the pain of 11 September and what happened after that. Yes, it was very painful, but also what we have seen in that region during the last 7 years was very painful too.
And the images that you have shown, you acknowledge, have been those of real war.
We have covered Iraq. I was amongst the correspondents who covered the war in Iraq. We have seen for ourselves what was happening there on the ground. We have seen the killing of civilians, the bombing. We have seen very ugly face of this particular war. That was not reflected on the screen everywhere. The war was given a very legitimate reason, And, regardless of what we have on the ground, there are major issues that were not asked, major preparations that I think there was. I always argue, had the Americans and had Mr. George Bush and his administration were watching Al Jazeera, they would have never made so much mistake.
Are you talking about the kinds of bloated bodies, dead bodies, that you have shown that perhaps American screens have not reflected?
A lot of American broadcasters would show the images of missiles and images of jet, fighters going and departing. They did show the might of American army. But we were on the other receiving end. We did show the amount of misery that public went through when this bomb or this jet fighter is bombing people on the ground. That was to start with. But later on, the whole dynamics of rise of sectarianism in Iraq, the governing council, which was based on sectarian foundations, the de-ba'athification policy, the policy to dismantle the army, all these mistakes that now a lot of people acknowledge that they were mistakes, we were discussing on our screen, and we were showing another opinion that I wish, if it was heard here in Washington, it could have saved all of us a lot of suffering and a lot of disputes.
At the same time, critics claim that you and Al Jazeera are simply a propaganda machine for the Muslim world.
We have been accused of a lot of accusations. When Al Jazeera was launched in 1996 and we were the first TV station to host Israelis on our screen, we were accused that we are a platform for the CIA and the Mossad. Then when we went into defending the Arab right for democracy and the freedom of expression, Arab intelligence agencies started accusing us that we are working to in a conspiracy to disintegrate the Arab world. In 2001, we were accused that we are defending Taliban way of thinking. And then on the war on Iraq, we were accused that we are pro-Saddam Hussein. I can tell you on myself an example. I was described by the Minister of Information on Al Jazeera screen that I am a voice for the Americans in the northern of Iraq. And once he captures me, he will hang me. He will make sure that I will be hanged in the Freedom Square in Baghdad. That was life. So our bureau during the war was closed for 3 days. Our reporters were physically beaten by some of the officials in Iraq during the war. And we never had the most intimate relationship with regimes in the Arab world, be it Saddam Hussein or Taliban or any other regime. We were trying, and I think we should have been, you know, what we have done there should have been acknowledged by people who love freedom all over the world. But unfortunately, we have seen very ugly face of governments, of American administration, Mr. Rumsfeld appearing on the screen and describing Al Jazeera as another tool for inciting violence in the region. And that was, and for, you know, really for me as a journalist who have gone through this experience, I can tell you that left a lot of bitter feeling within our newsroom and within our audience.
At 27 before the hour, you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. What can you tell us about Dave Marish?
I respect him, and I acknowledge his experience. And Dave is a great journalist who Al Jazeera was, you know, happy to recruit him and to work for Al Jazeera. Later on, I have read his comments regarding certain issues that he was not very happy about, certain matters that were handled in Al Jazeera English, and, you know, things that he wanted Al Jazeera to do and Al Jazeera did not do. And I must say that I cannot tell you more about that because I've not, you know, I cannot go against a colleague who I respect very much, and I think I feel that he has done a great job. However, I disagree on certain issues and certain remarks that he did about Al Jazeera.
He resigned in March 2008, 17 months after he had been on the air. He was citing, as I understand it, increased control over editorial content by your headquarters in Qatar and a growing anti-American bias by the Brits in Qatar headquarters as well.
And what was interesting here, that the Brits, the British, were accused of this kind of issue, not even the Arabs. I mean, at the headquarters, of course, as you know, of Al Jazeera in Doha, we have two separate editorial rooms, two separate newsrooms, one for the Arabic channel and one for the English channel.
I see.
So Dave was accusing the editorial group in Doha, who are at that time were British, the director, the managing director and the head of news, they were accused that they are against giving the broadcasting center in America much more freedom on covering issues related to the American reality. You know, of course, I would say that maybe it is his opinion, and I respect always, you know, opinions. But however, we have a policy, we have editorial guidelines that control both Arabic and English. My colleagues at the English channel, I had a chat with them about this issue, and I have actually, as a director general, you know, ordered an investigation into this matter in particular. And I found that the same rules of relationship between Doha and Washington are applied between Doha and London, between Doha and Kuala Lumpur, the three major broadcasting centers. And there was nothing special done regarding these rules and regulations in Washington to justify that the Brits in Doha were actually anti-American in Washington. So I feel some remarks like that, you know, okay, he would have his own opinion about it, but I have not felt as head of the network that there is a justification really towards this issue. Although always we would like to give broadcasting centers more power, more decentralized
and
authority.
That's, that was the question in an April 2008 interview with NPR. Dave Marish said that during his tenure with Al Jazeera, the Washington Bureau had less and less autonomy, and Doha had more. And that, unfortunately, in Doha, he said, there are a lot of, frankly, ignorant stereotypes about America, and they were starting to work their way into stories that were getting on the air. And frankly, he said, these stories embarrassed me.
Okay. No, I mean, again, as I said, we have a broadcasting center in Washington. We have more than 160, 170
but
journalists.
But how much control does Doha exercise?
Exactly. We broadcast from Washington, you know, at least 4 hours of live production. That time, most of us in Doha and the English channel itself, it does not, I mean, editorial team is sleeping because you know the difference between us and Doha. I have myself visited the broadcasting center for the first time during the last few days. I have spent one full day talking to some of my colleagues there. I attended a planning meeting for the news, and I have seen that they have the right to define what stories in North America and South America should emerge from Doha. In Doha, like any other media organization in the world, we have guidelines related to professionalism, but we have never interfered in trying to introduce an image about a country or nation that is different from what these people think about
themselves. Short break, right back.
National broadcast of The Diane Rehm Show is made possible in part by the German Embassy, presenting Germany Info, a web publication with daily news from Germany, business and investment information, and suggestions for travel to Europe on the web at germany.info. From Kaufman, the foundation of entrepreneurship, committed to growing economies and expanding human welfare, on the web at kaufman.org. And by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
On the next Fresh Air, what's wrong with the live music business? Writer John Seabrook tells us why concertgoers, artists, and promoters alike are unhappy with high ticket prices. Also, Michael Pollan explores why TV cooking shows are more popular than ever, even as people spend less time in their own kitchens. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
And it's time to go to the phones, 800-433-8850. First to Southeast Michigan. Good morning, Jenny. You're on the air.
Good morning, Ms. Rehm. And Mr., is it Kampfer?
Yes, Kampfer.
Am I messing up your beautiful name?
No, it's fine. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I've wanted access to his news for some time because I quit censoring the news. The same thing as censoring my books, and I don't want either one. I want access to every piece of knowledge and information I can get. I'm a big girl. I can make my own choices.
I think that's probably something that a great many people feel and something which may help you as you expand your coverage here in the U.S.
What we are asking the people to do is tune to Al Jazeera, watch it, judge it for yourselves. Just judge Al Jazeera. It is a screen. It is public. It is there. And I trust the maturity. I trust the wisdom of the public. And then definitely they will pick up Al Jazeera as their favorite channel.
Now, here's an opposing view from Alan. He says, I am an Iraqi-American who worked and lived in many countries in the Middle East, including Iraq. I used to watch Al Jazeera on a daily basis. I can tell you with the utmost confidence that Al Jazeera Network is the biggest anti-American and anti-Western media outlet in the Middle East. It has become the unofficial face of Al-Qaeda everywhere.
Yeah, you will find that. You know, some people will find that. And the opposing opinion will be that Al Jazeera is promoting Western values. Al Jazeera is a puppet in the hand of Western governments. Al Jazeera is trying to divide the Arab world because of issues that Al Jazeera is discussing regarding democracy and freedom of expression. You know, Al Jazeera has created so much opinions in the region, which I'm proud of, because I think it has stimulated certain kind of discussion. And all these opinions, you will hear it about Al Jazeera. But again, as I say, Al Jazeera is not a hidden issue. Al Jazeera is a screen displayed for the public. People can watch it and they can judge it for themselves.
Here is Buck in Omak, Washington. Good morning. You're on the air.
For taking my call.
Surely.
And I'd like to thank both you and your guests for covering this particular issue. I just had a quick comment. On my home computer, I have tabbed NPR, BBC, and Al Jazeera so that every morning when I sit down, I can get a view of what's happening in the world. And with each one of those news organizations, I find there's a slightly different slant. But I find those three in particular are balanced, intelligent thinking people can get an idea of what's happening in the world. And I really appreciate your guest being there and being able to present Al Jazeera's view of the world, which I feel, as opposed to, I believe, the last comment, is balanced. I do see, when I look at the homepage this morning, I do see a little bit more of what's happening in the Middle East, but I also see what things are happening in NATO. I see what's happening in Africa. I get an idea of what's happening in Central and South America. I often don't get that on my own U.S. Channels and stations as much as I do through them.
Buck, I'm glad you called. Any comment?
We have 62 bureaus for Al Jazeera Network all over the world. We are maybe the biggest network in the world when it comes to diversity. We reach out to the people wherever they are, and I think we are projecting various angles about events as they emerge. We do not intend to be central in certain kind of region. We are not Middle Eastern TV station. We are actually global. However, we concentrate on the margin. We concentrate on the public who have been, you know, doing a lot of things that were not projected by mainstream Western media. And this is why Al Jazeera is the voice for the voiceless.
Thanks for calling, Buck. Let's go to Arlington, Virginia. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning to the both of you. Just a quick comment and then a question. I very much admire, actually, Al Jazeera's coverage of the war. Frankly, I think its coverage has been much more transparent than, I guess, the sort of more carefully filtered images and reporting of the embedded journalists from networks from the United States. And as the previous caller mentioned, I, too, sort of gravitate to NPR, actually the BBC and Al Jazeera online, and I find I'm actually from South America, but I find I get a lot more balanced coverage from Al Jazeera than I do from a lot of the mainstream U.S. Reporting. But that said, my question is: how does Al Jazeera's editorial policy affect or reflect the coverage of current social issues, which might be considered controversial to an Arab audience or even a global audience, such as the specifically the treatment and civil rights of gays and lesbians.
Sorry, the rights of?
Gays and lesbians.
Okay. You know, Al Jazeera is known in the region that has opened a lot of discussion about various issues, a lot of taboos, created, you know, new dynamics within the Arab cultural and social life. And we touched on issues not only political, but social, sometimes even religious. We have spoken about the issues related to women rights. We have Al Jazeera itself is a celebration of diversity. We have more than 52 nationalities within our newsroom. We have men and women working together. We have people from various backgrounds and religions and ethnic, groups working together. So that has been, you know, our theme. You know, diversity is one of the most important and sacred pillars of Al Jazeera philosophy of reporting news. When it comes to issues that are sensitive, as she mentioned, and we have a lot of issues in the region that could be sensitive. We spoke about, you know, the honor killing, the issues of homosexuality, the issues related to slavery sometimes. All of that was discussed in the same way that Al Jazeera balances always its coverage and its philosophy of reporting, the opinion and the other opinion. So you'll have people who have their own opinion, and you'll have people who have different opinion, and we don't see ourselves biased towards one particular way of thinking regarding political, social, cultural, or even religious issues. We open up for the public, but also we have various opinions in order to give complete picture, and people should decide for themselves.
Carl, how does that response hit you?
Well, just a very quick follow-up question. You know, for example, I know that in many countries in the Middle East, you know, it's homosexuality is, you know, penalized in some cases. It's a capital sort of punishment. You can be executed for being a homosexual or engaging in homosexual acts. Do you report on that to the extent that you? And again, I've lauded your coverage and other issues as being quite transparent. From what I've seen, I don't find that your reporting is quite as transparent on those issues.
You know, I can tell you that some issues like that happen, and when it happens, we report. And for example, maybe the issue of homosexuality in particular and the discussion about it is not that prominent, you know, in most of the media in the Arab world, because, you know, there are also hundreds of other issues that are happening on a daily basis. Just we have started covering during the last few days the issue of the journalist in Sudan that was convicted because she was, you know, or she was sent to court because she was addressing in a way that maybe the government didn't like. We have covered the issues of happening in many parts of the world, from Afghanistan to Gaza to many other places, regarding the way that the headscarf should or should not be put, and when and how. All these kind of issues always are discussed. I mean, the issue...
And you're telling me that Al Jazeera does not take a point of view on those issues, yeah, even the headscarf?
No way that we take an issue. I mean, the Arab world itself is full of diversity and opinion. We reflect that. Whenever an anchor or a presenter takes a stance on issue that is people should debate and give their opinion about it, it is regarded by Al Jazeera as unprofessional, and therefore that gentleman will be asked not to repeat his particular opinion again. We are a TV station that believes in balanced and integral reporting. We do not take a stance, neither on political or social or cultural issues.
Has the issue of abortion come up on Al Jazeera?
In many ways. Some of it was during, you know, discussion regarding about the role of, or the how the society sees that. Sometimes on topic related to how religion does see that, sometimes medically, how that is useful or not. So all these kind of issues are discussed from various angles, and people give their opinion about it from various points of views as well.
All right, let's go to Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Diane. Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, I heard you comment that a number of people think that Al Jazeera is a propaganda machine for the Arab world, but I think we would be hard-pressed to give a single American station that isn't a propaganda machine for the administration, except for perhaps Democracy Now!, which some people would consider way to the left. But otherwise, even NPR has become sort of Fox Light, and I go to Al Jazeera just to find out what's going on, because I can't hear Hezbollah because it's illegal to hear it in the States. And the BBC supports the U.S. line, and, of course, there's a Voice of America. So what else is there?
Well, it does strike me that you do have Al Jazeera. I'm glad you do. I'm sorry you feel that NPR has become a mouthpiece for the administration. I think there are a great many people who would disagree with you. I also believe that networks in this country reflect what is going on in this world, perhaps not quite as vividly as Al Jazeera. Would you comment on what you see as American coverage, American media, how it portrays what's happening not only here, but around the world?
Number one, I have been here during the last few days watching talk shows and American networks coverage. I respect everyone, and I don't want to name anyone by name. However, I would say whatever I have seen here, impossible that Al Jazeera will, you know, the editorial policy of Al Jazeera will tolerate. Al Jazeera will never tolerate an anchor or a presenter who takes a side, who will shout at his guest, who will try to to support one particular viewpoint. That is impossible to happen on Al Jazeera. If it happens, that gentleman will lose his job. He can never be part of debate or discussion that is controversial. The second issue, when it comes to the Middle East, I think the coverage of the Middle East is very minimal. It lacks depth. Sometimes the Middle East looks as if it is black box full of anarchy and chaos, a puzzle that no one can understand. And unfortunately, I could say, America is part of what is happening right now at the Middle East. It is involved in what is happening in the Middle East without a proper understanding from the public about what is the Middle East all about and what is this conflict is all about. I'm afraid that, things will be too complicated in the future to draw right policies and the strategies to deal with the chaotic situation that we are going through right now.
At 7 minutes before the hour, you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. If you were to meet with President Obama, what is it you would like him to understand about the Arab world?
I will tell him, Mr. Obama, you have delivered a magnificent speech in Cairo and another one in Ankara. You have discussed issues that everyone in the Arab world would like you to speak about. People feel that you are sincere of whatever you have said. However, we need to see action on the ground. We need whatever you have spoken about to be implemented.
Such as?
For example, when it comes to the issue related to democracy and the freedom of expression, the Americans always stood for democracy. One of the pillars of the American values is democracy. Why do we see a lot of cooperation between the administration and governments who their jails are full of innocent people? Why do we see that the American voice is not loud on issues related to human rights in the Arab world? Why do we feel that everyone is classified into moderates and radicals? And the moderates who we speak about sometimes are the same people who suppress democracy and the freedom of expression, the same people who are pushing societies to be radicals. I think we need to adjust that. We need to open up for everyone in the region. People do not hate America. The Arabs do not hate America. They love the American values. They love the American, commitment to democracy and freedom of expression. This is what this country is all about. Why should we exclude huge part of the society because we would like to deal with narrow group who we feel that they are pro the ideas that we believe in? Why don't we talk to everyone? Everyone has an argument and everyone can participate. I love his commitment to dialogue, but let this dialogue include every influential group in the Middle East, not only few people who speak, about their own particular ideas that do not represent the masses on the ground.
With whom in particular would you like to see President Obama speak?
I believe that Mr. Obama administration should speak to everyone from civil society groups, from religious groups, even from groups that may disagree on certain issues. We may disagree with certain issues with them. This administration eventually has to speak to Taliban, and this administration has to speak to Hezbollah. They will have to speak to Hamas. They will have to speak to the Somali, rebels. They have to speak to the Iraqi rebels. They have to speak to the people. And definitely, we do not only speak to those who we love. We have to speak also with those who we disagree with or we hate sometimes in order to settle disputes. But if this matter continues as we see it now, more and more radicalization and split in the Arab world will occur, and that will not help the cause of Americans or the cause of the Arab world.
How far do you see Al Jazeera's reach in this country?
I wish that Al Jazeera could reach to every single house for one reason. We have magnificent story to tell. We are, you know, introducing a brand of journalism that I feel the audience in the United States need it, and they love it, and they will appreciate it once they see it. This is why I feel, you know, we need to reach out to the public wherever they are in every single corner in this country.
Madar Kanfar, he's Director General of the Qatar-based Al Jazeera. He was named by Arabian Business magazine as the eighth most influential Arab in the world and as a young global leader by the World Economic Forum. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you very much for hosting me.
And thanks for listening, all. I'm Diane Rehm.
The Diane Rehm Show is produced by Sandra Pinkard, Nancy Robertson, Jonathan Smith, Susan Neighbors, and Denise Couture. The engineer is Toby Schreiner. Dory Annisman answers the phones. Visit drshow.org for audio archives and CD sales, transcripts from SoftScribe and podcasts. Call 202-885-1200 for more information. Our email address is drshow@wamu.org. This program comes to you from American University in Washington. This is NPR, National Public Radio.